insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his property. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. Welcome back to Liberal Dan. Nope. Hold on a second. Something's going on with the audio. Apparently, I don't see it going on. So we'll see. Hold on. Let's see. Boo, 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 boo. Properties. Rode Podcaster. There we go. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to join the conversation. It is area code 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. You can just make sure if you're calling in to leave your name and area code, if I don't know who you are already, in the YouTube chat, which can be found at liberaldanradio.com, or the Twitch chat, which can be found at twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. Again, for the people who might be listening on Blog Talk Radio, we don't use that chat room. Three is too many chat rooms to keep track of. So it is just the two of it. Shouts out to Demonox, the first Liberal Dan Radio patron. I'm very sorry for the loss. For your, I think it was your sister-in-law who passed away. Apparently there were some addiction issues and, for emotional substance abuse, you 24/7 dial 988 is the, addiction support hotline. That's 988. I knew it was a nine something number, but I wasn't exactly sure which one it was, but please, get yourself help if you're facing addiction. And if you have loved ones who are facing addiction, please make sure they get the help, before it's too late. All of the thoughts of me, my family, and the Liberal Dan Radio audience are with you, Demonox, and your other half as well. So very sorry for your loss and for the loss of your entire family. So anyway, anyway, so to support the show, you... And my klutzy wife, who, yeah, has a broken foot or fraction foot. Did you look at it? I looked at his foot. Yeah. I know. Lovely. Yeah, my kid decided that he wanted to be like my wife and stubbed his toe hard, and now his foot's so swollen. So, yay for that. So, but my wife did. She, as she points out, she did last 3 months on a broken foot, because everyone thought, including her, everyone thought it was a broken toe, and you don't do anything for broken toes. But it wasn't a broken toe. It was right under the toe, and it was never going to get fixed unless you wore a boot. So now she wears a boot. And now she sounds more Canadian because she says a boot, even though she's not from Canada at all. I think we covered that last show. Anyway, to support the show, you can always like the current stream. We got 16 viewers, 8 likes, so get smashing. Subscribe if you've not subscribed yet. You can also on YouTube, since we're partners on YouTube, you can become a liberal danimal. You can become a member there for $2 or more. You can do super chats, super stickers, et cetera, all that good stuff on Twitch. You can follow that over there. And also the, I have the peanut gallery tonight, ladies and gentlemen. My wife is getting a big kick out of the fact that I've named the people liberal animals, yes. So she's quite amused. She'd know that more if she listened to the show more, but, you know, then she'd go to sleep more quickly, I guess. Anyway, so you could support the show on Twitch. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe with Amazon Prime for free. Otherwise, it's the regular subscription prices. You could also buy me a cider. Go to liberaldan.com, click the Buy Me a Cider button, or go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. You can Venmo Liberal Dan, just do friends and family because you're not actually buying anything from me. And, of course, you can become a Liberal Dan Radio patron, patreon.com/liberaldan or patreon.liberaldan.com. Either way will get you there. So with all that, plus all the comments from the peanut gallery, I believe this is Wes on the line.
Hey, Dan.
Hello there.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good. It's almost Hanukkah.
It's way far away from Hanukkah.
Passover?
It's almost Passover.
Happy Passover.
Thank you.
Yeah, we celebrate it too, you know.
And well, I know there's some arguments in some Jewish circles as to whether or not non-Jews should be holding seders or not, but you know, it's all surrounded. Passover is based, the Last Supper was basically the first night of Passover, so there is some combinations there between, you know, the Last Supper and Passover, but there are some Jewish people who feel that people who hold their own seders and don't just join other Jewish people's seders might be doing a little bit of, you know, inappropriate. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm forgetting the word off the top of my head. I'll think of it like after the show was up there.
Appropriation.
Yes, there you go, Wes. Thank you. Appropriation. Yes.
Okay. So, well, you know the story though.
I'm well aware of the story of Passover, and I'm also aware of the story of the Last Supper. Almost called the First Supper.
Okay. So the things that happen tomorrow in our culture, in our traditions, were the things that we celebrate most.
Right. So, Holy Thursday, then Good Friday? Is Holy Thursday, then Good Friday? Is that right?
Right. You celebrate on Thursday, and you die on Friday.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Younger Jewish lad, and I was heard them call it Good Friday. Then I realized what Good Friday was. I'm like, why is that good? But then I guess the goodness is because, according to the Christian faith, that the goodness is dying for the sins. But you know,
yeah,
I don't want to get whole much onto religion today, except for the Trump Bibles, which we'll get into in a second.
You know about the apple
from the Garden of Eden apple?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, if Eve hadn't tempted Adam with the apple, then Jesus would have never had to happen.
So because of original sin.
So the original sin is a good thing, right? And the same way with, I don't know, things happen and consequences are, you know, you never know.
Let me just say something.
Butterfly.
Let me just say
effect.
Something. Let me just address somebody in the chat. If somebody who's who's banned from the chat wants to come back into the chat, like, why would you still use your real name? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
silly.
If you wanted to come back and be in the chat and participate without, you know, and not have us realize who the heck you are and the fact that we already banned you because you refuse to misbehave, you refuse to behave, you continue to attack posters again and again and again and over and over and over, why on earth would you come into the chat room and use just a shortened version of your name instead of,
it's a like, joke.
Well, there's what? No, there's Joe Gibson. No, Joe Gibson in there. I don't think that's a joke. I think that's really Joseph Gibson. So
we used to have a lady. One of the first chats I was in was NEA, you know, teachers union chat room that we had, and they didn't even call them trolls then, but people that would come in with assumed names and just be as contrary as they could possibly be.
Right. Well, that happens, and I'll just remind
and
the audience.
It makes it a little more interesting sometimes.
I'll just remind the audience. Don't even engage. Let the mods do their jobs. Don't even engage. Just let him.
Yeah, exactly. Just block them yourself, for goodness sake.
No, but I mean,
if you don't like what they're saying.
Well, I mean, if I don't like what they're saying. That's the thing. That's the thing with my show. I will allow conservatives to come on the show, and I will allow people who disagree with me to come on the show and discuss issues and debate issues. And back when Joe was allowed to come on the show, we had several conversations where we disagreed, and we had a few where we agreed. We reached some agreement at some point. But when he came back that one day and became abusive to the other people in the chat, no, that was the last straw for me. You know, that's when Joe was banned.
Hey, Trucker John.
So, yeah.
Oh, whatever. You got to do you.
Anyway,
my name, my troll name is blocked from Hal Sparks. Oh, but I got a good one. I got a good one. Guess what else happened to me this evening?
What happened to you
just
this evening,
very
Wes?
Recently, after Hal Sparks was over, I went and watched Jimmy Dore.
Uh-huh.
And I was commenting, and all of a sudden they blocked me.
Nice. Well, that's a badge of honor then, right?
It's a badge of honor.
Yep, then we're on the same wavelength. Badge of honor. There you go.
And that was this name. That was just plain old Wes, which used to be Mr. Webb.
Mm-hmm.
This was my one for my parents, my kids' parents to get in touch with me. A long time ago.
Right. Let me address this with Mr. Joe Gibb in the chat. You're Joseph Gibson.
My.
You did something wrong before, and why should I forgive that? That would be my point. Why should I forget that? Why should I forget? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So.
Just wants to be contrary.
Right. I've not insulted anyone today yet. That's the point. You came back. You came back into the chat and said and started insulting people and being really terrible. And so your other account was banned, and this account should be banned too. I'm just busy paying more attention to Wes, though. But I'm seeing the comments come up, and
Joe.
And when Joe does get yeeted, I want Joe to fully understand why. You think I have the wrong person? You're not Gibson Media, no. Joe Gibb. Really?
He wants to play martyr. That's okay. It's Easter. It's Holy Week. He can do what he wants.
There you go. Well, I guess, you know.
This is a terrible one. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a terrible one, and nobody that I better, maybe I better not tell it at all. Anyway, I was at a meeting, let's say it that way.
Okay.
This week, and. One of the ladies that has very many mental and emotional problems in her life just declared that she decided she was exactly like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was just persecuting her.
Hmm. Very weird. Well, you know.
So many victims. So many people just want everybody to feel sorry for them for some reason. It's kind of sad.
Right. You know, people are going to be that way. It's just, you know, people are strange.
Is that,
when you're a stranger, faces look empty.
Is it a Republican
faces
that
look,
feels whatever. That way?
I don't know. A lot of people who are on the right feel like they're martyrs, feel like that they're always the ones who are being persecuted, despite the fact that they're the ones pushing for legislation that wishes to persecute people. So
poor me.
Yeah.
Joe Gibb, you're fine.
No,
nobody's you, are they?
If Joe Gibbs, that's Joe Gibson. I mean, it's clearly Joe Gibson, and
oh,
I'm
sure it is.
Yeah, that's why he says.
That's why he's coming back.
Well, sure. I'm a very lovable guy, and you know, I tried very hard to be very. I mean, I tried very hard and be very patient with him, but he's just not somebody who apparently can respect the wishes of other people when you're in there. Like if I went to his chat room, if I went to his radio show and he had rules set up and about how to treat the other people who are watching the show, listening to the show, and I violated those rules, I'd fully expect to get banned too. So
exactly.
That is what it is.
You don't even say fuck that much.
I don't. Sometimes I do. I might tonight because I have a fat man rant coming. I'm waiting for Nick Rich, first of all, because Nick Rich likes my fat man rant. Mm-hmm. But I have a live fat man rant coming over whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
The arguments over Mickey Prestrone.
I can let myself go a little bit and act crazy and say swear words easily, you know, that come very naturally. But if I am in, I guess you call it polite company, you just don't swear all the time.
Well, it's not even the swearing thing that's the problem. I have less of a problem with swearing. I mean, next Monday, the title of the show is going to have a curse word in it, so we'll get to that later too. It's not an issue of swearing.
My.
It's just the issue of the fact that you don't berate and harass the other people in the chat. You address the topics being discussed. You don't attack the other people personally. You know, and that's as simple as that.
We anxiously await with great anticipation a swear word by Dan.
Fucking right you do. Anyway, anything else before
right.
I get to the topics of the show?
I have really nothing to say. You know, I keep getting people calling me out, and I so much want to say. I don't know how to explain it exactly, except instead of talking about me, why don't you talk to me? I'm glad to argue with people.
Doesn't
just
have to be an argument. It could just be a civil conversation. It could just be a civil discussion where you discuss your disagreements and come to a mutual understanding. Yeah, etc.
But certain people,
so,
they just want to act attacked all the time. Mm. They want to act like you're trying to pick on them. And sometimes I just would be happy enough to ignore them. I started blocking people. I can't believe I'm blocking people. I never blocked people before. I don't know whether it's the whole world or just the internet that's really changing. We used to have a blast. We used to have fun on HowlSparks.
I don't think it's the internet. I think the internet in general has made it so people can, you know, it's made the world much smaller. But I think there are other things that has made people more, I don't know if anxious is the right word, but more less tolerant of dealing with the what they feel might be BS-ery or whatever. So, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you
heard anything about James Carville?
What, like today or anything new?
His recent
thing
about how, especially women, but a lot of liberals in general are just being so whiny and victimized sounding instead of, you know, they need to get, especially women need to get militant about it's their bodies. For fuck's sake.
Well, Well, that's a good segue to the first topic I wanted to talk about. Not necessarily militant,
okay,
God bless you.
Happy Passover.
Thank you.
And yep.
You have a good one, Wes. Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Love you, man. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
But yes, that is a good topic. You know, we are talking about the abortion topic today for a good bit, and one of the things, you know, that we shouldn't. I mean, I have called some people on the left the whiny left, not necessarily about the abortion issue, but about other issues pertaining to, you know, where they just whine and cry and don't actually do anything about it. It's typically the whiny left are the people who are the leftists who like complain about the candidates, but then don't go vote, or complain about the candidates and then in states that matter, vote for candidates that are not going to win and then blame the Democrats. It's like the meme where the person's riding the bike and, you know, they put the stick in their tire and flip over. And then it's like, why would the Democrats do this to me? Or what have you. But yeah, you know, a lot of people have said that, you know, that a lot of people are worried about making abortion a big issue because they're afraid that it could potentially be a losing one. But it's proven time and time again, ever since Dobbs v. Jackson, that it's a winning issue. Case in point, Marilyn Lanz defeated Republican Teddy Powell in a bright red district, not just a swing, but a bright red district, and beat him by like 25 points. And she didn't run on namby-pamby, you know, I'm going to get along type campaign. And she ran on abortion rights and in vitro fertilization. I think she talked about how she had a doomed pregnancy and she had an abortion, I want to say, if I'm getting my activists correctly. She went all in on abortion rights in the deep red South and won. This tells you, I mean, it's not absolute proof that it could be done every single place possible. And it was a special election, and special elections can sometimes, you know, be precursors and tell you what's going to happen in the general, but sometimes special elections can be just outliers. Maybe they managed to have a really good get out the vote campaign. Maybe the other side wasn't enthusiastic about Teddy Powell. But, you know, from her, today's Alabama Women and Families sent a clear message that will be heard in Montgomery and across the nation. Our legislatures must repeal Alabama's no exception abortion ban, fully restore access to IVF, protect the right to contraception. Lanz said in a statement shared by the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee, which supported her candidacy. Lanz had 63% of the vote compared to Powell's 37% of the vote. This is a Republican district, and it wasn't 55-45. It wasn't a squeaker. It was an overwhelming blowout by Marilyn Lanz, which kind of sounds, that's where I'm from, right? Marilyn Lanz. Anyway, but it's an impressive feat done by an impressive woman who didn't back down to all this BS that the Republican Party is trying to push on us. And instead, she went all in. She stood up for the rights of herself and others and won. She won by standing up, being firm, and supporting the rights that matter to her. And that's what you got to do. There is no wishy-washiness. You can't come against the Republican Party and be wishy-washy. You have to come fully loaded. You have to come all ready to go, fired up, ready to go. You have to come in and you can't hold back anything when it comes to what you believe in. Run on what you believe. So, anywho, so that was amazing news, great news. I mean, does this mean I think Joe Biden could win Alabama? No. But I think it means that he'll have better shots. He could potentially have better shots. It might send better better news for things like, you know, North Carolina, where it was already a squeaker last time, but now that we have abortion on the table and now that we're going to run full on, it seems that the Biden administration is absolutely going to push back against Trump's wish to have a 15-month, no, that would be odd, a 15-month abortion, 15-week abortion ban, and he's talked about that. The Biden administration is going to stand up and say, we're going to fight against that. And I love what Biden said. Biden didn't promise you that he was going to make abortion the law of the land. Biden told you, give me a Congress that will pass the law and will make abortion the law of the land. Abortion rights the law of the land. But we're going to talk about that probably in a little bit. Let's move on to some of the other topics I want to talk about. The other day, you know, I was kind of in and out of sleep, and all of a sudden in my ear, the news was left on, and in my ear, I heard breaking news, and all of a sudden, and I'm just kind of like slowly paying attention, like, what could the breaking news be now? And all of a sudden, it's like the Francis Scott Key Bridge just collapsed, and I was like, what? And I turned over and then showed the video, and I was just like, what? I could not believe it. I've been on that. I'm from Baltimore. You know, I was raised in Baltimore. I've driven on that before COVID, but one of the last times I drove from my grandparents' house in Delaware all the way back to New Orleans in one shot, we after our Saturday Thanksgiving dinner that we would do with our family every year, it was tradition. We drove across that bridge. We drove across that bridge to go towards DC and beyond. And you know, it's great that you had people who acted quickly. Because the stories about the people who are acting quickly are amazing. Because if you watch, like, you see that boat coming at the thing, at the bridge, and you still see a truck and another car just on the bridge. And what, it took them like 22 seconds to get the Mayday, to get into their cars, to get to the bridge and say, do not come on this bridge. You may not come on this bridge. So the fast action of whatever law enforcement agency was called, was the Coast Guard or whatever fast action took place there, saved a ton of lives that way. The thinking of the, you know, imagine you're on a ship. You're on a 1,000-foot-long ship almost, full of cargo. And you're about to potentially crash into a bridge. And you have the right of, you have in the right mind to make sure to make that Mayday call. That Mayday call saved lives. Like, he didn't necessarily worry about him. Now, I mean, there is some damage to the boat clearly, or the ship or whatever, but I mean, that it's not sinking is actually kind of surprising. But, you know, that fast action saved people's lives. And so I'm sure the people who are driving the boat or piloting the boat or whatever were probably not responsible for whatever maintenance failure took place. And I'm sure we'll find all about that much later on as they go into it. That fast action and the fast action of law enforcement is absolutely impressive. I don't think that would ever happen here. I can't imagine that happening here, that them mobilizing the law enforcement that quickly to block boats' entrances to the bridge that I live by, to stop people from getting on it immediately. I mean, we have our police department here in Algiers in Louisiana is so understaffed, it's ridiculous. But they do have a special bridge police, so maybe it might happen with the bridge police. I don't know. But, I mean, this doesn't affect Louisiana at all in a negative way, because this is in Maryland, not in Louisiana. I'm from Maryland originally, but in Louisiana, it shouldn't affect us all. In fact, it might actually in some ways help Louisiana in that they can't use the port right now can't use the port in Maryland right now because the wreckage of the bridge is blocking access to the port. And if you watch Joe Biden's press conference the next day, President Biden talked about how he was going to make sure that the full power of the federal government would be there to deal with the bridge and to get the port open. And you had some, probably Steve Ducey or whatever, or some other conservative idiot was in there trying to make Biden look like a fool by saying, he was like, what, did you say port? Port? Did you say port? Trying to catch him to say like, oh, did you really mean bridge or did you mean port? No, he meant port because the bridge is preventing the port access. So you have to then worry about getting the stuff from that port to other places and bringing things to other ports. Does that help New Orleans? I don't, we're kind of far away from there, but I don't know. Maybe some shipments might have to come to the port of New Orleans so that you don't have too much going into other ports across the country. So maybe some of the things that would be going to Baltimore might go to New York. Some of the things that would be going to Baltimore might go to Miami. Some of the things going to Baltimore might come to New Orleans. I don't know. We'll see how they handle that. I'm not a shipping expert. I don't know. But in the grand scheme of things, at the end of the day, you wish it wouldn't have happened. But again, the fast action thinking of those people was just impressive. And it's sad that 7 people died. And one's, I think, still in critical condition. You'd hope it's none. But it could have been much, much worse. It could have happened during the day. It happened at night. And they could have, you know, the power went out. The fact that they got the radio call out was, you know, good. Good for them. I wonder if they got the electricity going just so they could make the Mayday call. They got the electricity going, I guess, made the, I don't know if the Mayday system or the radio system is on a different electrical system than the rest of the boat, but they got the call out and the police acted fast as well. So it's just crazy that you didn't see much less loss of life. But I do have a bit of a, something that was driving me nuts. See, in the discussion of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, all of the news stations went to this, our bridge is safe, our bridge is safe, our bridge is safe. In New Orleans, in Louisiana, they're talking about, our bridge is safe. They start talking about bridge ratings and how, you know, we have bridge ratings and a lot of them are 60% and above, which is supposedly good. Then you have other, you know, bridges that might be, once they start getting to 40% with their ratings, that's when they start taking action. Other places, other news agencies were talking about, is it safe to go on a bridge safety, bridge infrastructure, some of it. Why are we talking about the infrastructure of bridges as to whether or not a bridge is safe when it comes to how it's constructed? A freaking ship crashed into the bridge. That's what caused the bridge to collapse. We should be talking about the safety of the systems on these ships that have to cross under bridges, maybe. Maybe we could talk about, you know, the infrastructure that some bridges have that act kind of like fenders to kind of help deflect boats or ships or whatever from crashing directly on and maybe make it more of a glancing blow instead of a direct hit. Fine. But the whole, our bridge is safe, it's stupid. This is why people sometimes just, this is why I get frustrated at the media. Like, you're asking the wrong questions. These are the absolute wrong questions from the media. Are bridges safe? This has nothing to do with bridge safety. It has to do with the fact that a freaking 1,000-foot cargo ship crashed into a bridge, making it collapse. What else do you want? Anyway, it's absurd media coverage that's trying to, again, make people panic or just accelerating other people's panic, not saying, look, I wouldn't say that you have to say it this way, but basically in the short version, stop being stupid. This isn't about bridge safety. This is about a ship that crashed into another bridge. How many bridges are going to be able to last after a freaking ship that big crashes directly into it? Stop being dumb.
That's not my fat man rant, though. Vincent Owens, the Bridge of Sound, when they built it, they did not know of such heavy freighter someday. Right. So, but yeah, I just was like, I kept looking at my wife. Every time they would bring it up, I was like, it was crashed into by a ship. It was a ship. It's not Bridge Safety. It's a ship. Big Hook asks, I wonder if they will retrieve the sections that are salvageable and try to re-erect it and produce a new section to get that vital artery open again. I think what they said is that as they are getting the debris out of the river, that they will inspect the portions that are salvageable. And if there are portions that are salvageable, they'll reuse those parts to help expedite the process as long as it's safe. It's technically possible to think that portions of the bridge may very well be safe to use. I don't know about the concrete portions, but especially not the parts that landed right on the ship. But when you had the bridge that fell and you had this part fall first, and then this part kind of like just went and did this, maybe a bunch of this part can be done. And maybe in the short term, you can create sort of maybe a pontoon type bridge or something to help at least the vehicular traffic cross while you're working on the full-on solution. And there are other solutions. There are other routes in the city. It just will take longer. And because it's going to take longer, and it's also going to cause more traffic, which is going to, I told my wife, I was like, man, I mean, the traffic in the Harbor Tunnel in Baltimore City is going to be hell now. Because basically when you're coming that way, you have several routes that you can take. One of them was the Francis Scott Key Bridge. One of them is the Harbor Tunnel, which goes under. Yeah, that tunnel is going to be packed with traffic all the live long day. And there are other ways I'm sure you can get around as well, but they're going to add more and more to people's commute. And look, people are dead, and we shouldn't necessarily be whining about commute times, but they should. But they're going to start working on a way to help fix this. And if the Republicans block this too, I mean, it's not like the Republicans are going to win Maryland, but it may very well hurt them to be like, look, stop being this petty when it comes to this. Stop being this petty when it comes to your hatred of Biden and making sure that he doesn't win in the fall, even though he's going to win in the fall. But, and you know, like even my dad and my stepmother, my stepsisters live on the other side of that bridge. So they would take that bridge to go visit my niece and nephew and my stepsister, her husband, etc. I guess step brother-in-law, whatever, I don't know. But the only reason I didn't panic is I absolutely knew that my stepmother and my dad were not awake at the time when it happened. That's why I didn't automatically be like, are you okay? Is everybody fine? Because otherwise, if it would have happened at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I might have very well been like, you know, hey, Dad, you all right? Everything cool? Fine. Good. Yay. But yeah, when bridge gets clear, they have ferries waiting. And they could implement some sort of ferry system maybe to help ferry traffic back and forth. We used to have a ferry that would bring cars back and forth across the Mississippi River, right from Algiers Point to New Orleans. And that went away for another ranty reason that I've talked about on the show before. Maybe we can talk about it later. I don't know. But there is one, and there's actually one that's further downriver from us that was working. It's no longer working because they have to do some construction on it. But yeah, I mean, it's technically possible that they could create some sort of ferry system to be able to bring cars from one another, but that would require them actually obtaining a ferry, and who knows. And then you'd have to have the infrastructure built to get the cars from the road to the ferry, which then, is it worth spending all that money on creating a ferry system when you could be just making the bridge? Or maybe you do both so that if something, God forbid, happens to the bridge again, what are the odds? What's the chance? But the odds are, you know, if something does happen, maybe you have a ferry system as a backup. Who knows? anyway, we do have a bunch of people now, I think. We got 31 viewers and 26 likes, meaning we have some slackers going on. Please make sure to smash that like button. It's 8:40, 40 minutes into the show. Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left, that's right. Mondays, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central on liberaldanradio.com, which is the link to the YouTube channel, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. Again, if you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. We're about 50 subscriptions short, which is free. It's free to subscribe on YouTube. It's just the memberships that cost money. I'm 50 away from becoming the next level partner, where people watching my non-live videos, when they see ads, I'll make money off of that as well. So, and just make sure to go like other videos, comment on other videos, share other videos, get those algorithms pumping, because that's going to get everybody else, that's going to get other people seeing it and engaging it, and that's how the algorithms work. If the more people that interact with the videos, the more people that'll see the videos, lather, rinse, repeat. It's kind of like it's kind of like an avalanche effect. It just keeps going and going and going and going. But yeah. So the next topic at hand. Oh Lord, the next topic at hand. Oh Lord, this is just ridiculous right here. So let's go ahead and play this week's Hypocrite of the Week, shall we? This week's Hypocrite of the Week is Donald Trump, who brags about grabbing women by the genitals, commits adultery, pays porn stars hush money, and does various other immoral things, who is now selling a Trump Bible. He says it's his favorite book, but I bet it was his struggle to say those words. I'm shocked Bibles don't immediately burn when he touches them. To see who the next Hypocrite of the Week will be, tune in Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central, live at liberaldanradio.com and twitch.tv/liberaldanradio for more talk from the left. That's right. There you go. Donald Trump, once again, Hypocrite of the Week, selling his Bibles and his golden shoes, his cologne with his face on it or whatever, Trump 45 cologne or whatever hell it's called. The Proud to Be an American Bible, where putting Lee Greenwood's lyrics in it, putting the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in it, which have nothing to do with the Bible. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Thank you, Steve, for becoming a member, a liberal Danimal for another month. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thanks from way across the pond. Thank you, Kelly, for the good radio voice. At least you're not saying I have a good face for radio, but it does remind me of when I was on doing Uber and Lyft. I did have a few passengers one time. They'd be like, are you on the radio? You should be on the radio because you have a good radio voice. And I'll be like, well, just so you know, I do have a podcast, Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. So there you go. Yeah, he doesn't know his Old Testament. But what's funny, like they're asking him, what's your favorite? What do you prefer? The Old Testament or new? I like both. I like both equally. I like to have both equally. It's fine. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know crap about the Bible. But considering that Donald Trump has a Bible that he's now writing out, and he says it's the King James Version, but who knows? Maybe he might have put some edits somewhere along the way to make it a more Trumpian-like Bible, so to speak. So I came up with what might very well be the Ten Commandments in the new Donald Trump Bible. So bear with me. Thou shalt have no gods before me except Donald Trump, who is amazing in all things. First one. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image unless it's a golden shoe. Remember to keep the Sabbath day and make it holy. Wait, we don't do that one anymore. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord, thy God, or of Donald J. Trump in vain. Honor thy father and mother unless they are Democrats voting for Sleepy Joe. Then you can dishonor them all you like. Thou shalt not kill unless you're Donald Trump, who could shoot anybody he wants to in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose any votes. Thou shalt not commit adultery unless the chick is really hot or you're a millionaire, because you can do anything as a millionaire, You can just move in on them like a fatted calf. Thou shalt not steal, but please donate to my campaign so I can pay off my legal bills. Thou shalt not bring fake news against your favorite president, Donald Trump, or bring a fake witch hunt lawsuit that is brought to you by Sleepy Joe. And finally, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. This goes double for you, Letitia James. And that is the Donald Trump version, at least I would envision it, of the Ten Commandments in the Donald Trump Bible that you can buy for $60 at whatever website that I'm not going to plug. Wes, did I write this? Yes, I wrote this, Wes. I wrote that. Are you surprised that I wrote that? Like, I can come up with some funny stuff, too. Covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. This goes double for Letitia James. So, yeah. I mean, if you look at between Idiocracy and Dogma, I mean, you got the Movies chain. I'm surprised Donald Trump hasn't come up with his own version of Movies, where with a golden calf as the mascot or whatever. Wait, you are smarter than you look. I don't, thanks. Funny. Thank you, Wes. Thank you for saying. I don't know. Does that mean I'm really, really smart? Or does that mean I look dumb and that I'm just normally, regularly intelligent? Thou shalt not cover my neighbor's wife, but my daughter's okay. I can cover my daughter, but not the wife. But he's a millionaire, so he can do whatever he wants. That's my point. He can covet his daughter or somebody else's wife, or he could cheat on his wife or whatever, because adultery doesn't matter. If you're a millionaire, you can just move in on them like a fatted calf. So it's the facial expressions for me. Well, you know, you have to make some weird facial expressions and hand gestures, and you have to, and I kind of realized I was sort of like, I do a bad Donald Trump impression, but pretty much almost everybody does a bad Donald Trump impression. Nobody does a good Donald Trump impression, except for like Jay Chalvin or whatever, he does an amazing Donald Trump impression, but most Donald Trump impressions are the same. This is, you take your voice, you pierce your lips like this, and you talk like Donald, and you do this, and this is how you talk when you're trying to be the Orange Julius, you know. Steve, anyone checked if they're real Bibles with Jesus and everything? Supposedly, they are. They contain what Christians would call the Old and New Testament, but they also have some added additional words, like, you know, they have the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, and then Lee Greenwood's lyrics, because, you know, let's bring him into this too. So, all things Gillespie, Trump should be peddling the one book he's known to raid and firmly believe in, Hitler speeches. Well, if you noticed the Hypocrite of the Week, I did say that it was his struggle to say that the Bible was his favorite book. And of course, the Mein Kampf translates to my struggle. That was my joke. That joke may have gone over some people's heads, but I don't know. I'm hoping it didn't go over everyone's head. I'm hoping people caught the, when I made the stop and go, his struggle. But if you didn't catch the joke, let's play it again just to make sure everybody hears it again. This week's Hypocrite of the Week is Donald Trump, who brags about grabbing women by the genitals, commits adultery, pays porn stars hush money, and does various other immoral things, who is now selling a Trump Bible. He says it's his favorite book, but I bet it was his struggle to say those words. I'm shocked Bibles don't immediately burn when he touches them. To see who the next Hypocrite of the Week will be, tune in Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central, live at LiberalDaneRadio.com and twitch.tv/LiberalDaneRadio for more Talk from the Left. That's right. And again, we got 37 viewers and only 30 likes, so please make sure to smash that like button and then smash the patriarchy. So, Tim missed everything. That's okay. I will definitely upload the alternate version of the Ten Commandments that I read as a separate video. I did record it separately. I made sure to click that record button to make sure that that it could be a separate clip. It will go live for members as soon as it uploads. It will go live for everybody at like 9 a.m. in the morning. So if you want to hear it immediately and you don't want to rewind and find it in the show, become a Liberal Dan member, become a Liberal Dan animal, and you can hear it immediately once it goes live. Or you can just wait till 9 a.m., whatever. But thank you, Alton Gillespie. I appreciate it. One of the funniest things is I have the maybe I should do a for next week. I should do another Liberal Dance Chopper City, and do it with Trump Bibles or something. But I was very happy when I played one of the Liberal Dan Chopper City bits for Hal, and Hal laughed, and I was like, "Yes, I made Hal laugh with something. If I could make a professional stand-up comedian laugh, that makes me happy." So, anyway, so, of course, this week we also had the hearings at the Supreme Court, and they were talking about Miffy Prestone and how lower courts had said, okay, you can't sell it, and it was challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court. It's kind of two cases that were combined together, Food and Drug Administration versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, Danco Laboratories LLC versus the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. Just like Donald Trump, unlike Donald Trump, who doesn't do it purposely and says, you know, Obama when he means Biden, I actually mean it when I'm doing it wrong because that's my point. But, you know. Donald Trump wants us to believe that he's doing it purposely. I don't believe it.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. But yeah, so I listened to a bunch of the hearings. I didn't get to hear all of them, but I heard a good bit. Frankly, I was surprised when I was hearing some of the questions that Amy Coney Barrett was asking the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine when... about whether or not they should have standing and if the remedy that they're asking for is too much. I was like, huh, this is Justice Barrett saying this? This is kind of strange. I wasn't surprised to hear Alito talk about his questions, because Alito's questions were just terrible. I'm anticipating that everybody else is basically saying, a lot of the experts are saying that this case won't go forward it has gone forward to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court isn't going to judge the case on its merits. They're not going to avoid it. They're going to say they don't have standing. And I'm thinking it's going to be a 7-2 decision about standing. And I'm thinking that because Justice Thomas likes to have his own special snowflake, own opinions on things, I think that Alito will then also have his opinions in his standing argument. And I can't wait to read that. I cannot wait to read Justice Alito's dissent on that they do not have standing, because listening to some of the questions that he had during the hearing made me just understand clearly why his rulings are as terrible as they are, because I don't know how he became a lawyer. I don't know how he graduated law school. I don't know how he convinced anybody to put him on on any court, let alone the Supreme one of the land, because he's just like, look, I disagreed when he was alive with Scalia on a vast majority of his rulings, but I can understand how he became an attorney, how he became a lawyer, how he became a judge, and how he reached the Supreme Court. His rulings were in some points genius. I mean, evil genius, but still genius nonetheless. I mean, some of the points I disagree with. Some of the points I'm like, how did you? But he knew what he was talking about, even if what he was talking about was abhorrent and I disagree with. But at least you can understand why he made the points that he did. Alito, no. He's like the kid you pick last to get on the Supreme Court. He's like the one that's left over. Like, oh, do I really have to pick him? Come on. No, I don't want to have to pick him. But you picked him last all the time. No, but you're going to make him feel bad. Too bad. I don't want him on my team. Yes, I was bringing that up. also spelled Budin. He spelled Biden Budin, B-U-D-E-N, Budin. Somebody on a Facebook group that was trying to tell me how about Sleepy Joe or whatever was talking about how wonderful Trump was. I'm like, really? What? Who's Budin? Who is Joe Budin? And what are the words misinformate and disinformate? And why should we know that? Because they're not real words. But, of course, Donald Trump would be like, I have the best words. Nobody has better words than me. Nobody. I have the best words. Chuck John's in the house. It's Chuck John. Good to see you, Chuck John. But I'll get back to this at this point a little bit in a second when I start the fat man rant. But because I have 2 points to make in my rant, and we'll be switching the background for a second. But one of the things that I think happened here, why would you pick Josh Hawley's wife? What's her name? She should be standing on her own merits or lack that thereof. So Aaron Hawley is the one who argued the case. And Aaron Hawley, again, is Josh Hawley's wife. She argued the case for the Alliance for Hypocritical Medicine. Sorry, I keep doing that. And they should have known that it was a poor choice because she's already shown that she has poor decision-making skills because she married Josh Hawley. Exactly, Vincent. Who would marry Josh? I don't know who. Apparently Aaron Hollywood. That's funny. Aaron Hollywood. But that just goes to show you that she has poor judgment. Bob-la-bong. Boudin sausage? Yeah, Boudin. Joe Boudin is a form of stolen, no? maybe he was craving. I was craving some Boudin sausage from Louisiana. I like Boudin sausage. So when I was thinking about the Boudin sausage, I wrote Biden. I wrote Boudin. You know, it happens.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Dark Boudin. That's great, Wes. I should steal that and then put it on a shirt or something. Dark Boudin. But yeah, Josh gave her a platform, pretty much. Josh reminds me of this icky coworker I once had. Josh Hawley was running faster than Stewie. I saw the clip. Yeah. But anyway, let's bring up the Comstock Act real quick. Because everyone's talking about the Comstock Act of 1873. Made it illegal to send obscene, lewd, or lascivious, immoral, or indecent publications to the mail. It also made it a misdemeanor for anyone to give or sell away, possess an obscene book, pamphlet, picture, drawing, or advertisement. The breadth of the legislation included writings or instruments relating to contraception and abortion, even if written by a physician, although officially titled an Act for the Suppression of Trade in and Circulation of Obscene Literature and Articles of Immoral Use. That's a terrible acronym. They didn't know how to make good acronyms for legislation back in the day. The statute did not provide a definition of obscenity. Congress adopted the Comstock Act in response to the proliferation of obscene materials in the 1870s, because apparently in the 1870s, America had a bunch of dirty MFers. Anthony Comstock, head of the New York Society for the Suppression of Vice, had shown members of Congress illustrations that he considered obscene, I'm sure, and he urged legislators to pass the measure to prevent crime and the corruption of children. And then Anthony Comstock arrests individuals under the new obscenity law. In the 1870s, Ezra Haywood, a feminist who studied women's role in societies, wrote Cupid's Yokes, in which he asserted that women should have the right to control their own bodies. Shocking. Comstock considered this obscene and arrested Haywood. He also arrested Derobing Mortimer Bennett, a libertarian, after he received a copy of Cupid's Yokes from him through the mail. During Bennett's federal trial, the judge denied the defense's motion to show the jury the entire work, insisting only that the isolated passages charged as obscene were pertinent. Judge applied the Hicklin test from the British decision, Regina versus Hicklin, 1868. I think the test is this, whether the tendency of the matter charged of the Senate is to deprave and corrupt those whose minds are open to immoral influences, and those who hands a publication of this sort may fail. Blah. Comstock Act, ban on birth control, information overturned. Comstock vigorously enforced sections of that act that dealt with birth control. Numerous doctors suffered arrest and conviction for supplying written materials explaining pregnancy and how to prevent it. Activist Margaret Sanger lobbied for overturning of the act's birth control provisions, which the courts did in United States versus One Package. The decision made it possible for doctors to legally mail birth control devices and information to the country. So it would be interesting to see if United States versus One Package would come into play here. See, Tim Pearl, I was showing Rudy's show earlier. He was blaming a little maternity leave Pete for the bridge collapse. What? He blamed Pete Buttigieg for the bridge collapse? Again, it was a ship. It was a freaking ship. It wasn't his duty to make sure that all bridges can deal with direct hits from cargo ships that are 1,000 feet long. Ridiculous. Anyway, but let's get into my fat man rant, shall we? Let's go. Nope, not that one. That one. There we go. We have the fat man rant image right now, and I don't have to hear anything at the point, so I can take that off for a second, so I can not have the headphones while I'm doing my fat man rant. So if you don't know, fat man rants are just things that I've done and where I just get a little more animated about the things that I'm talking about. And if you don't know, I also, when I record things live during the show, at the end of it, I'll say, what do you think, agree or disagree, like, and just like your comment, like, comment below, and or comment below, like the video, subscribe, and have a good day. And I'll end the video with that. It doesn't mean I'm ending the podcast after that. It just means that I'm going to stop recording at that point. So actually, before we do all that, let's just make sure I have enough room on my hard drive. Because that would be a good thing to check. Should be fine. Also, let's just check the videos things and see what we can delete. Not the ones from today. That's clearly not something we want to do. Doop, 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 doop. Yes, we shall delete those. Matt Lighter, love the paid parental leave for parents. It's even for same-sex couples. That's exactly true, and it should apply. And it should apply for every parent, regardless of if you're a same-sex couple, you know, opposite-sex couple, whatever you are. If you're, like, there's so much people talk about the patriarchy and, you know, how patriarchy harms men, too. The idea that men can't get all paid time off to go help their spouse raise a kid is absurd. That's a patriarchal thing, and it harms men. Like, lots of patriarchal things harms men. It harms men's ability to take care of their children. I remember back in the day, bringing both my children with me, but I had my youngest who was still in diapers, and I needed to change his diaper. But I was at the car place or whatever, getting my car repaired, or getting something done to my car, whatever it was, service, and I was like, where do you want me to change my kid? Because you don't have a child's diaper changing table or whatever in the men's room. So they went ahead and they checked the women's room and held guard as I changed my son in the women's room. And they said, oh, we're going to work on it. We're going to get it. A year later, I came back for service. I had to change. So he was still in diapers. Had to change his diaper again. Lo and behold, they had not done it yet, which pissed me off. So, Dawn, be nice, Dawn. I told you, don't attack the people. Attack the points being made. Someone just said the Trump's Bible is the Bible America deserves. It's probably true. Anyway, let's just go ahead and we will start the fat. We haven't started the Fat Man rant yet. We're just kind of leading up to it, but I make sure I wet my whistle first with some water, not with alcohol, but just, you know, keep myself well hydrated. Always be hydrated. Always be hydrating. ABH. So here we go. This week we had the hearing over whether or not Miffy Preston should be banned nationwide and whether or not the people bringing it, the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, should be able to bring the suit in the first place as to whether or not they have standing, whether or not they have proved that there is some harm that they're going to get if this is allowed to happen. If these people are allowed to receive mifepristone or the abortion pill over via the mail. And first and foremost, it's ridiculous. They should not have standing. It's ridiculous because their jobs. They chose to be OBGYNs. They chose to be OBGYNs in hospitals. And still, there's a federal law out there that still says, regardless of all that, that they should be able to say, I can't perform this procedure because of my religion. Well, let me tell you something. If there is a patient in the emergency room who is dying because of, or is dying or is in harm because there is an issue pertaining to whatever's going on, be it a bad reaction to an abortion pill, which has less bad reactions than Tylenol, but still, If it's happening in the emergency room and you're called upon to do your job, do your fucking job. It's your fucking job to do. You should do it. There should be no morality exception for that. Your morals shouldn't interfere with somebody having their lives saved. And look, I was raised Jewish. Saving a life is the most important thing one can do in the Jewish religion. I don't know why that changed for some Christians. I don't know why, you know, on this Easter weekend, why Jesus dying and then being resurrected, dying for your sins and being resurrected, why that means that this is no longer something that is held in the Christian religion, it doesn't make any sense. But the idea that you should be able to say, no, I'm not going to go save this person's life just because they happen to be dealing with a problem because of mifepristone or some other abortion-causing pill, no. And some of these people don't want to perform these procedures on people where they didn't take a pill. And it's against their religion to do abortions in any case, even if it's just a miscarriage that hasn't completed yet. It's against their religion. Then get out of your fucking position where you are. Go set up shop outside the hospital in your own office, be an OBGYN there, and let that be the end of it. You made the choice to go work at a hospital. You should have to deal with that. Other people shouldn't have to deal with that. You should not be taking up space. Somebody else should be in that position to be able to help save that person's life. If you're not going to do it, you have no business being in that hospital. Period. End of story. Now, the odds of this happening to these people, these very small, minute amount of doctors that are being represented by the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, Hippocratic Medicine, the odds are so minute. And fortunately, it seemed that a majority of the court understands that, and it looks like they're probably going to rule that there's no standing. And so therefore, mifepristone will be allowed. But this is just the conservatives, I think, throwing spaghetti at the wall. They're trying to see what arguments the conservative justices like and don't like, and then they can bring another case that's, you know, better suited, maybe with a better attorney other than Aaron Hawley, because, you know, as I said before on my podcast, you should have known that she would be a bad choice because you already showed Aaron judgment in her choice of husband. But the other thing I have to say is this, is I've not heard this talked about in any part of any of the media. And if you've heard about it, comment below, because I'd love to see it, because I haven't heard it. Nobody's talking about this that I've seen. Dobbs v. Jackson specifically states that because abortion's not mentioned in the Constitution. The federal government has no authority to deal with it, and it's a states-only issue. If Dobbs v. Jackson makes abortion a states-only issue, and therefore it's not something that's a federal issue, then any part of the Comstock Act that has to do with abortions should be unconstitutional as well. In fact, whatever Donald Trump is wanting to do with a 15-week abortion ban, that should also be unconstitutional. Because if the federal government can't say you can have a right to an abortion because abortion is not listed in the Constitution, according to the horrible ruling written by Alito, but if that's the current judicial precedent in this land, that the federal government lacks the constitutional authority to act on abortion when it comes to protecting abortion rights, then it should lack the constitutional authority to act on abortion in any way, shape, or form. So the Comstock Act provisions on abortion should be unconstitutional, and any attempt by Donald Trump or any Republican Congress to try and criminalize abortion nationwide should also be considered unconstitutional because of Dobbs v. Jackson. Again, have you heard this before? Let me know, because I haven't seen it, and I think they're really missing the boat here. But what do you think? Comment below, agree or disagree, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and have a good day. Anywho. See, Bob LeBlanc, I'm a dentist. I like pain. Do you thrill when you drill a bicuspid as well, Bob? Be nice, like Andrea says, respect everyone in the chat room. Yes, thank you, Suzanne. Vincent Owens, thank you as well. I guess you left. Let's see what else. I mean, has anybody in the chat heard anybody on any of the news channels or any of the pundits or bloggers or anybody talk about that particular point that I made, that if Dobbs v. Jackson says the federal government can't do anything on abortion rights, then the Comstock Act should be unconstitutional, at least the provisions dealing with abortion? Like, I haven't seen that. And again, if anybody else has seen it, I'd love to see who's talking about it, because I'd love to give them their kudos. But I've not seen it yet. And I think it needs to be a point to be, it's a point that needs to be made, because it's a missed boat. Not to try and compare it to the bridge or anything, but it's definitely a missed boat, missed opportunity to make an argument. Well, I'm going to be, that part will be posted to video channels, to all my social media channels. So if you see it, forward it. Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter, Liberal Dan Radio on Facebook. I'm also Liberal Dan on Facebook. Here, of course, facebook.com/LiberalDanRadio or LiberalDanRadio.com will bring you here as well. If you do the TikTok, it'll be up there as well. So, see, mom was having a miscarriage. The doctor, Roman Catholic, was ready to abort whenever mom was ready, but mom wanted to make sure there was no heartbeat even though she was getting sick. So that's, you know, that's the thing. It's a shame that people feel that way, that they have to do that, but it should be their choice. If somebody wants to risk a pregnancy or risk remaining pregnant despite the health risks to themselves, then that should be their right to do so. The government should absolutely not be forcing people to make that decision. So, it scrolled again. Darn it. Hypothetical BS argument. What is? What is the hypothetical BS argument? The argument made by the Alliance for Hypocritical Medicine, or what? Personal choice, except that I was born less than a year later with birth defects. Well, I mean, my mom, everybody who says, you know, there was the argument, there's the argument of you know, pro-choice, your mama wasn't pro-life. There's bumper stickers that'll be like, your mama wasn't pro-life, darling. It'll have D-A-W-L-I-N apostrophe or whatever. And I like to go up to those people and be like, yeah, she was pro-choice. She absolutely was pro-choice. She chose to have me. Clearly she chose to have me. I found out later on in life. Oof. But she chose to have me. And if she didn't choose to have me, if she chose to abort, then I'd have known nothing of it. No, I would have never known. Simple as that. But funny, because the funny thing is that I was born, my mom had a copper IUD. I think it was a copper one. I think that's what they had back then. That's the only types they had back then. I was a stubborn motherfucker back then. I was stubborn. I was like, screw this IUD. You're getting pregnant. I'm coming in, whether you like it or not. And well, you know, I'm here. And then when I found out about it, I went to my mom. I was like, so I was unwanted? And my mom goes, you were not unwanted. You were unplanned. I'm like, okay. And then I told my dad about trying to pick on him about, I just found out that mom had an IUD in when I was conceived. I guess I was unwanted. And my dad's like, you were not unwanted. You were unplanned. And I'm like, y'all planned that, didn't you? Y'all planned that coming up one day, and that's how you would respond, because otherwise there's no way for me to accept that any other way, because holy crap, y'all said the same thing and y'all are never in agreement. Y'all are never, ever, ever in agreement on damn near anything. So how the hell did you manage to come up with the same thing with that twice? Craziness, I tell you, craziness. So, see, Jeff Gray, my parents insist on going with me. They are sick. They just want to see what kind of fit I'm going to do. The IUD contraception, yes. Unlike IED. My mom did not have an addition. Now, if she would have put an IED up in there, I wouldn't be here. She wouldn't be here either, but that's a completely different thing. There's some meme or something that I saw about that. It was like the guy was like, do you have an IED? And I was like, what? No. That would be kind of dangerous to have an IED up there. Nobody wants that. Wes, my parents were using the rhythm method. Well, as they say, the rhythm is going to get you. Rhythm is going to get you. Rhythm is going to get you. Rhythm is going to get you tonight. Dun, 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 dun. Someone else said, I want candy earlier today, and I had that in my head for a little bit too. I want candy. Anyway. Picked up my dog in Vail last weekend. Vail, Colorado? Or is there a Vail, North Carolina? Just made the IED joke. Are you on delay or something? Because I've made the IED joke already, like twice. I could beat the dead horse again on the IED joke if you want, but I could, you know, do it over and over again. No, I've been known to beat jokes into the ground.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Case in point, me again, beating jokes into the ground. Vail, North Carolina. Okay, I didn't know there was a Vail, North Carolina. Learn something new every day. Anyway, so what else did I want to cover today? We've talked about the Key Bridge. We've talked about Trump Bibles and his new grift. We talked about the Supreme Court arguments in the FDA versus Alliance for Hypocritical Medicine. And that SCOTUS, it seems, again, that SCOTUS is going to say you don't have standing, which I'd actually kind of rather them make the ruling. Honestly, I'd rather them say, okay, fine, you don't really have standing, but let's hear this thing anyway so we can throw this out and get this over with and done with, to say, no, you don't have, this is not kosher. Your argument is failed on its face. But again, I think they were just trying to throw spaghetti at the wall see what sticks, see what conservatives dig their arguments, if they don't dig their, and then they're going to come back and try again under some other guise, other sort of, you know, tactic, if you will. So, see, Bob LeBlanc, women, Eve, mind, contains tree of life, womb, after birth. We know that knowledge that we are different from the lilies of the field, kind of metaphors, Sedgway. What? I don't know. Yes, Wes, we are aware that IED is an explosive device. That's why I said if my mom would have had an IED instead of IUD, I wouldn't be here, but she wouldn't be here either. So, yes, Wes, you should be happy that you were born. It just, you know, we're all special in our own unique way, and as are you, and everybody should be, you know, everybody should be happy with who they are. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. Fortunately, there's whole, you know, mental health, you know, industries and pharmaceuticals dealing with mental health that prove that people aren't happy with who they are and they need help dealing with that. So it happens. Oh, Big Hook, Big Hook's calling. Yay. We missed this yet last time because I was just about to go off the air. So maybe. Most of the doctors that brought up that lawsuit are dentists. I didn't even know that. That's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's a crazy suit. It's just, again, they have, don't, it's just like the pharmacist thing. Like the pharmacists who don't want to prescribe birth control pills. Then don't be a pharmacist. Or make sure when you get hired on as a pharmacist, make sure you say, you know what? If somebody comes in wanting birth control pills, it's against my religion to dispense birth control pills. So you're going to have somebody else dispense them while I'm here. Let them know ahead of time that these are your sincerely held beliefs. And if they can't, if they're small enough of a pharmacy where they can't do that, they can't afford to have multiple people dispensing at any given time, they could be like, I'm sorry, you're just not a right fit because you won't be able to give our patients all of the drugs that they need to have. Go somewhere else. Find another occupation. Nobody forced you to go into the health field. And you don't have the right to push your religious beliefs on other people, even if, you know, even you might want to be a doctor. Great. I'm happy you want to be a doctor. I'm happy you went through medical school and you were able to succeed and get your degree and all that good stuff. Doesn't mean you get to use your position as a physician to push your beliefs on others. Big Hook's here. I see the number. How's it going?
Hi. Wasn't sure if you could hear me or whatnot.
I can hear you now. Usually it's I don't hear you until I move you over from mute to talk. But now we can hear you, so now we're good.
Yeah, you know, I've been following you for a while. You know, it's funny because up here in the Great White North, as we say, you guys,
right.
we're shaking our heads at you guys because you guys seem to have so many things that we in Canada have figured out and moved on from, and we can't figure out what goes on in your guys' heads, you know, and it frightens the crap out of us because it's like you guys have more guns than brains, it seems, you know, no offense, but
no, it's true.
It feels.
We do. And a lot of the people that are the ammosexuals, if you will, the ones that are like addicted to the guns are the ones that have the least amount of brain power amongst them. It's why Donald Trump, after the 2016 Nevada primary, said the only people that he said he loved were the poorly educated. And he does really well against poorly educated white people. So,
yeah, I agree. That's the thing. But that's what's so frightening. It's just that you have such a, you know, I mean, when you think there's such a large part of the population down there that believes so much nonsense and you can't convince them otherwise, you know, I mean, it scares the living shit out of me and other people across the world that, you know, you guys are going to fail as a democracy. And You know, I mean, like I say, I keep going on the forums and the chat forums and saying vote blue and, you know, and try and add ideas that hopefully inspire people and whatnot, because, you know, as they say, the U.S. is advanced citizenship. You guys really dropped the ball when you guys stopped teaching civics and stuff, because people don't seem to realize what their rights are or where they should stand on issues and whatnot. And you know, and the other thing is that, you know, the Republicans just, they're just complete obstructionists, and you can't do anything. Like, they do, if you don't believe in democracy and you don't believe in the process, then why the hell are you in government?
Well, because they want to, they have, I think their ultimate goal is that they eventually want to put in a different type of government. I mean, you have people now saying the quiet stuff out loud. You have people, when Donald Trump said that he wants to be a dictator on day one, and you have his supporters who are like, well, maybe we do need a dictator. I'm like, then you don't love America, dude. You're not making America great by voting for a dictator. You're making America something other than America, other than America's supposed to be, at least. And it's, you think you're scared. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are scared across the world that they're going to see Trump, the second coming of Trump, so to speak. But, you know, interesting, you know, to bring up the second coming of him. Don't talk to me about coming. I do it many times. Melania's happy. Sorry. That's for Jeff.
Yeah.
That comment was for Jeff. But the
don't worry.
Anyway, the point is that, you know, yeah, we're terrified. And down here in Louisiana, we have it, like, probably almost worse than everybody else. I do live in a Democratic city.
You guys have the worst abortion laws anywhere across the country. I mean, that's the thing there, from what I understanding.
Louisiana's abortion law has a minuscule, little bit, tiny bit better than Texas. Like, we're just a little bit better. Just because the way that the former governor worded it, it protected morning after pills. It protected morning after pills, potentially, as compared to how it's worded in many of the other states. But anyway, but still, you know, now we have a extremist conservative governor who is a little mini Trump wannabe. We have a completely Republican legislature, and not only are they completely Republican, they would be veto proof. It's a supermajority, so the Democrats in the House and the Senate, in the state legislature, can't do anything meaningful to try and stave off whatever is coming. So what you'll see in Louisiana over the next few years is gonna be the proof as to how horrible Republican rule can actually be. Full Republican rule. Because, as I said before in the show, other states like Florida and Texas may have full Republican rule in at state levels, but they do have pressure coming from, like, big corporations and big blue cities, like Houston's big blue city, large population. You have Orlando with Disney and all the other, you know, kind of big industries that are, you know, lean liberal, leftist, progressive type ideals. You don't have that in Louisiana. New Orleans is not big enough to force the hand of anybody in the state of Louisiana to do anything. And it's going to become really bad really quickly here. And it'll be the, hey guys, you want to look into the future and see what happens when you have government fully in control. Just look what we're doing now. This is your preview.
Yeah.
This is the preview of what happens to America.
I know. And that's what bothers me. It's just like, you know, you guys seem to be repeating history that everyone said, we'll never go back. And, you know, you're being dragged back kicking and screaming. I wonder in your situation, if you will eventually have to leave Louisiana to go find sanctuary in a blue state at some point.
I wonder that myself. I wonder if there was ever a national divorce, so to speak, or whatever, if you know, the people in Louisiana, if people in New Orleans would be like, no, we don't want to leave the United States, and Louisiana would be like, well, screw you, you're ours because you're a port and we're not giving up our port, then it may very well be possible that we might have to turn tail and flee. Fortunately, I mean, I work remotely, so I can work from anywhere, but one of the, I think the main office, the main corporate office of where I work happens to be in New Orleans, so who knows? But it is frightening. And you had people in 2016, when I was trying to warn people back then about Donald Trump is going to name three justices if he gets elected, and they didn't believe me. I was like, Donald Trump, they're going to, and if he gets to name three justices, they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And people are like, oh, well, that's never going to happen. I'm like, of course it's going to happen. Of course it's going to. That's their end goal.
I could always come back with the retort, and everything Hillary said was correct.
Yeah, exactly. She was absolutely dead on balls accurate, to use a line from my cousin Vinny. And the thing is just you. These people just don't want to admit that they were wrong. They don't want to see how things can get bad, because they assume it's never going to get as bad as it could be, but it can and it will. I mean, history forgotten repeats itself.
That goes to my argument that probably the biggest hindrance for a lot of Americans is that they haven't used a passport to go and see how the rest of the world lives and to appreciate what they have, but also to see what they're missing out on. That's the thing that gets
right.
me. I mean, living up here in Canada, I mean, I have some klutz things that have happened, but I mean, in terms of the medical care that I've gotten up here, people will make the argument, oh, but it's slow and it's really, it's like, yeah, but it's always available. Yes, it maybe takes a little bit longer to get things done, but in the end, it gets done. And you don't have to lose your life savings or your house or your family when somebody here gets, you know, and...
Well, I was waiting for my tires to get fixed one day, and I was having a little chat with this conservative old guy who was complaining about the Affordable Care Act, he was complaining about Obamacare and how terrible it is, and I started saying something, but then he started talking about how one day he'd like to move to Canada and because they have really good health care up there. I'm like, the cognitive dissonance amongst them is just like. And there's the people who are like, do you like the Affordable Care Act or do you like Obamacare? They'll be like, no, I hate Obamacare. It's socialism. And then you ask them about provisions of the Affordable Care Act, like how they can't do rescission anymore and they can't do pre-existing condition clauses anymore and they can't do all the other things that they can't do. And they're like, oh, well, I support that. Well, that's Obamacare, y'all.
Well, I mean, at this point, the only... government that I see that is better than, or at least the best functioning ones, are the Scandinavian countries. I mean, they have their health care covered, they have their education covered, they have their housing covered, they have their retirement covered. All they got to do is show up to work every day and do what they want to do and be who they want to be and pay their taxes, and they don't even think about it. And to add to that, the government does their taxes for them. You know, I mean...
I don't understand why we have to constantly fill out those forms all the damn time. Unless you have a really special circumstance, they should know everything already when it comes to how much I'm paying, how much is getting withheld, how much I'm making. You know, they get the information from the tax, from like, you know, I have the, like, if I have investments and if I buy or sell, they submit those. It should be automatically put in, and they should be like, okay, here's what you owe. Boom, there you go, done. You shouldn't have to, but I'm sure H&R Block and other folks would be very mad if that took place, because then they'll all go out of business.
Yeah, we have the same problem up here in Canada. The tax people got in on it, and as a result, people here pay to have their taxes done, including myself, because it's too much of a hassle, and, you know, it's just... It is what it is, as you say. It's like I said, I've got dual citizenship, but you couldn't pay me to go down to the U.S. at this point. It's just I scared as to the possibilities of what could happen down there. I mean, it's, you know, and, you know, I'm lucky. I'm a white guy. If I was any other color, I would probably be, would never even consider it, because it's like, you know, I mean, people want to say that there is no racism. Like today they had that guy on The View and he was like saying, oh, well, you know, we, there shouldn't be any racial bias. It should be based on equity. You know, how some people are rich and some people are poor and this and that and the other thing. And it's like, dude, the people that are the poorest are the ones that are the different color skin color. And they, you know, through the redlining and all the other stuff that you guys have had through your history, literally have no way out of the dilemma they're already in.
Yep. Like we have caused Black Americans throughout the history of this country to have a extreme disadvantage, and then then these conservatives want to fuss at them for being in the situation that they're in. Like y'all put them there. We put them there.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And it's like, dude, I don't have any boots, and you know, and you, there's nothing for me to fall back on. I mean, at this point, you know, I mean, it's a ridiculous argument, and you know, it's a logical fallacy because and that was the argument that they put through with the abortion thing today there with the Supreme Court. They had nobody that suffered. They couldn't name one person that had a case, and that's why I said it was a BS hypothetical argument, because they're saying, well, it could happen, possibly, and it's like, and my other argument was, I mean, you can do everything right as a doctor, and people will still die.
Right.
You know, it's just the way it is, you know. I mean, but at any rate.
What should have been asked by the justices, should have asked, and I think they missed this opportunity, where they should have said, if somebody comes into your hospital who is having a situation that's similar to a complication of dealing with a morning after pill, not a morning after pill, but mifepristone, the abortion pill, if somebody, their issues are similar, but yet they didn't take the abortion pill, but they still have to have, they still need to get treated to treat that situation, would your doctors oppose to treating that patient and making sure that you know, termination, dilation, extraction took place? And if the answer is yes, we'd also do that. Then that's your answer there, because then it's not really about the abortion pill. Then it's about something completely different. So,
but the thing is that they already have the exception rule. So, I mean, that was the other thing. There wasn't an argument to be made. They could simply say, I refuse to treat this patient, somebody else do it. And that's the end of the argument. So they went all the way to the Supreme Court, totally wasted everybody's time and resources. And in the end, they just showed exactly who they are. They're fanatics. Nothing will satisfy them. And they want everyone else amongst the population to suffer because, oh, I have ethical concerns that I can't prove actually have happened. You know,
even if they did prove harm, that there was a potential harm that they might have to deal with, and even if they could make the argument that the I can opt out of this isn't enough for whatever reason, the court still needs to do it via a least restrictive means test. And if then banning the mifepristone, the abortion pill, for everybody nationwide is not the least restrictive way to do it. So even if you grant them all of their arguments and say, okay, good, fine, I'll believe you that you have harm. I'll believe you that you have standing. I'll believe you that it might one day happen to you. And I'll agree with you that this existing law isn't enough to protect you and your personally held beliefs. The solution that they're asking for is not the least restrictive.
But this is the thing that gets me, is because Roe versus Wade was basically the argument taken to the logical conclusion, which was to satisfy everyone. It was like, oh, well, you can't terminate a pregnancy after a certain amount of time. And, you know, and unless there is something wrong with a threat to the life of the mother, or the child is going to be grossly deformed and not have any real you know, let's say fruitful, you know, life ahead of them.
Right.
You know, those things were all taken care of, and they went and they took it away without thinking, what are the repercussions? And everybody told them what the repercussions were going to be, and guess what happened? They're all happening big time. Yep. You know, you see examples of it everywhere. And these guys go, oh, well, I didn't know. And it's like, we warned you.
Yep.
What do you want? We told you you were being stupid. You proved that what we told you was doing was stupid. And now you want to say, oh, well, I wasn't stupid. I just didn't know any better. Then change it back.
Well, you the know? Thing about this is that it's hard to change it back unless you have a new court, because the existing court's not going to do it. And if another abortion case comes up that says that asks something similar, you'll then have a 6-3 majority backing that, because now Roberts can now hang his hat on, oh, this is now the judicial precedent, so I will follow stare decisis, because Roberts has been known to follow stare decisis even when he disagrees with the overall ruling, because he tends to be almost purist when it comes to that sort of thing. But
yeah, but I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, Roberts is the one, he's like, I'm going to kill democracy by the death of 1,000 small cuts. And, you know, and he's like, oh, it's incrementally take things away. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like plucking feathers from a chicken. If you do it one feather at a time, it doesn't become noticeable until it's too late.
Right.
You know, it's, and, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, unless Joe Biden completely stacks the court, and as I've made the argument before, I think it should be 21 and make it so that way the justices are put in each bracket of 7, and they don't get to decide what cases they get, and they just basically put the cases in a hat, and whatever comes out, and they don't have any idea who their other justices will be until it comes up, and then they have to make a decision. And that's probably the only solution, not to mention the fact that, you know, I mean, that way the billionaires don't know who it is that they have to pay off to get the decision that they want.
So you're saying have 21 people, like a pool of 21, but still 9 rule, or?
No, or does 7, because now you've got the odd numbers, so that way you can still get the result of majority rules. But you have 3 of them, and let's face it, there's more than enough cases before the courts that they could easily utilize all 21 of them and all running at the same time. Or better yet, they take staggered vacations, so that way the Supreme Court is never not in session. It's just a different, you know, that they're all operating and take the breaks at separate time, because, you know, as you guys like to say, justice delayed is justice denied. So let's remove.
Well, TV2 Live down in the chat says there should be 13, and I ultimately agree with that, but I think we should start with 15 and roll all the way back there, because there are 13, whatchamacallits. I saw you for a little bit, but I think I only saw your hood, Henry. There are 13 federal court districts, so there should be the same number of Supreme Court districts. That would make sense. But, you know, why would we make sense as a country?
I know, but I mean, that's just you're talking logic, which doesn't apply here with conservatives. They don't, you know, it's, you know, you can't put anything by them. Anything that makes sense, they're going to object to no matter what. That's the thing. It's not about winning the argument. It's about having the argument and then making you mad, so that way you walk away and nobody gets anything. That seems to be the only thing that they consider that governing, which it isn't. It's just, you know, stupidity ruling the masses. You know,
Henry,
or at least that's
down so they can see you. Anyway, so. But the thing is that, like, you know, and also there's the hypocrisy issue, because, like, take, for example, the healthcare issue. You have the situation where back when you had Bill Clinton was president and Hillary Clinton was trying to work on a national healthcare type of plan, the solution that was presented by the Heritage Foundation and by conservatives as an alternative to Hillary's plan included things like a national mandate to have abortion, not abortion, a national mandate to have health coverage. And the national mandate to have health coverage was then turned into this pariah of a thing that's horrible and terrible and tyranny and all this other crap. But it was a conservative idea to begin with. So they will oppose the things that they initially support simply because the other side is now supporting it.
But at this point, that's the problem. You guys have a system where almost half, if not two-thirds of the cost of providing medical care goes to administration. I mean, that's insane.
Right.
I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, that's, you know, and the insurance companies are profiting and they're running algorithms that say, oh, we deny. Oh, okay, we'll give it to you because the government says that we're being mean to you. You know, right. I mean, that's just nonsense. You know,
and one of the biggest problems with the Affordable Care Act is the kind of the when they created the 80-20 rule or whatever, where only 80% of 80% of the premiums has to go towards healthcare and only 20% can be used towards, you know, certain other costs or whatever. And this is not insurance costs, but this is insurance costs, not healthcare costs, because healthcare administration costs is, you know, something different and is included in 80%. So what they would then do is, if they wanted to increase the amount of money that they make per policy, all they would do is then say, oh, we're going to increase the amount of money that will accept or that will pay out as an insurance company to the doctor's office, so that, let's say, a thing cost $100 and you could only make $20 off of that $100 procedure. Okay, well, we're now going to reimburse $200 for that procedure instead of $100. Well, guess what? Now we get to make $40. Same procedure, we now make more money. So,
yeah, I'm just scratching my head up here trying to figure out what's wrong, because it seems like, you know, you guys live in a world of Wall Street greed, you know, where it was like where Michael Stone or what's his name, Michael Douglas said.
Michael Douglas,
greed,
yeah.
Greed is efficient. Greed is, and I'm like, greed is absolute cruelty. It's being a selfish person who thinks they deserve more than everybody else. And, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to die with the most toys wins scenario? I mean, that's
right.
I mean, you're going to die alone. I mean, sure, maybe you can pay someone to pretend to love you, but that's about it.
That's what I like to do. I like to pay them to pretend to love me, especially when they leave the next a few hours later. And then I pay them hush money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Like I said, please don't take any offense to some things that I write on occasionally, because I do sometimes lose my shit from time to time. But I have a respect for the fact that you're brave enough to go out there and to talk about the issues and put it out there in a forum that people can access. And that's the thing. Politics Girl actually put out a thing on the Affordable Care Act, and that was one of the other things, because she was like, you realize that these monsters want to take that away from you, and as a result, you're going to kill a lot of people, because they will be able to say, oh, you have a pre-existing condition, we won't cover you. And as she said, one of her medications already costs $130,000, and she takes like 15 medications. That's for her rare lung disease. So, I mean, she's looking at probably having to have to do the ultimate thing, which would be to move back up here to Canada if
Right.
You know, if worse comes to worse, you know, and I know a lot of you guys, unfortunately, don't have that option. And I mean, like I say, I know there's a lot of really good people in the U.S. And, you know, I love you all and I respect you all. And unfortunately, you live amongst a bunch of nutcases that really don't value life very much, you know.
While claiming to be pro-life. They claim to be pro-life, but they don't give a crap after you're born. After you're born, who cares? Let him die. Or don't get sick, and if you do, die early. That was the argument again. That was the point that was made against the Republican suggestion to overturn when they suggested the non-serious bill to replace the Affordable Care Act with. So,
yeah, I know. They went and they said, oh, here's the Affordable Care Act. And it was like, what is it? It's like 1,500 pages or something. And they said, we're going to replace it with this. And it was like 20 pages thick. And it was like, are you shitting me?
Right. And it violated the 10th Amendment. Like, if you read what they actually offered, it violated the 10th Amendment because it basically allowed states to bypass other state rules when it came to regulations. Like, it basically said, you can be in the least regulated state and sell to the most regulated state, but the rules that under the sale will go under the least regulated state's regulation. So therefore, it allowed for those companies to get around the ability of states to govern themselves.
Yeah.
State regulation. Yeah. But as Nimbus Yost, this guy with the host of the most of the Smooth Sounds of the Percy podcast, says, hypocrisy is a conservative prerequisite.
Yeah. No, we have them up here, unfortunately, as well. But, and some of them, you know, it's like we just try to turn around and walk away and just ignore them and hope that they go away, or better yet, they succumb to their own devices, which is the other option. But outside of that, I don't know what else to say. We have people up here who don't believe in climate change. And I mean, we're currently going through a climate change crisis up here already. I mean, it's 7 degrees Celsius here and it's raining. And I've lived here 30 years, and normally at this time of the year, it's anywhere from 17 to 20 degrees usually. And, and it only cools down to about 11 or 10 degrees, and we're well below that. And that's just during the daytime.
And for Americans listening, he's talking about Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
yes. I know. Like I said, we're all scratching our heads looking at you guys going, what is up with you guys? You know, it's because, like I said, you're scaring the living bejesus out of us. And then the other thing is we're all thinking the same thing, which is like, shit, it's only a matter of time before they think, you know, I think we could take Canada, you know.
I mean, like, well, we probably could, but I don't want to, because we shouldn't be able to. I mean, I don't know how powerful the Mounties are, but I can't expect that they would be able to stand up to the American military.
There's that. But then the other thing is that like we managed our resources up here quite well. So I mean, most of your lumber comes from Canada.
Right.
I mean, you guys have, you pretty much you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, as they say. I mean, at this point in terms of certain things, I mean, unless you're going on public protected lands and looking for stuff that's undiscovered, I mean, at some point you're going to be come face to face with the dilemma that you can't keep doing the things the way you have been for the last, over 100 years that we've been stuck on this oil resource that everybody relies on. So.
And then we got DB Golding from Australia, basically, that they're shaking their heads for the same thing. I don't know why I just lost Big Hook. I didn't drop Big Hook, but it said caller has dropped, so I don't know what happened. But if you're still listening on the radio, I didn't hang up on you, Big Hook. It just you just randomly dropped. But DB Golding, and again from Australia over on Twitch, says Australians hear that Australians are shaking their heads in total agreement with that guy with Big Hook. And yes, we are also terrified about what's going on. You know, I try and be as confident as possible over the idea that Joe Biden will win re-election, over the idea that, you know, Donald Trump has screwed himself and the Republican Party by trying to funnel all of the funds out of the GOP and into his legal funds, et cetera. But sometimes it's tough because there still were 73 million people in this country who voted for Donald Trump. So yeah, Wes, sometimes the call just drops and it'll show up on my screen that says call dropped. It's not just a matter of going to mute. The call actually drops. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he lost power or what, but whatever. Speaking of the Affordable Care Act, before we end up ending the show, I did want to play these doozies of clips because it's the 14th or 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act. That's cool, Big Hook. I figured something happened technology-wise. It could very well be Block Talk Radio. They suck. But anyway, so this is the 13th to 14th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act. And so 7 years after the Affordable Care Act took place, Donald Trump had one of his senior moments. And no problem, Big Hook. Appreciate it. Call back in anytime. Although not today, because probably after I play these clips, I'm probably going to end. So, but yes, do appreciate the call, because I love when more of y'all call. I enjoy talking with all of y'all, except for Gibson, who's banned. Anyway, so I called my shot way back in the day because Donald Trump had said we had 17 years of Obamacare when it was 7. So here's me calling my shot on that. President Trump basically says that for the past 17 years that we've been under the thumb of Obamacare. 17 years, folks. That would make it 2001. Since before 9/11, we've been dealing with Obamacare. Have we now, President Trump? Now, look. People misspeak all the time. I do it. I just want to know, because of this whole 17 years comment, can we finally let go of Obama's statement about 57 states? I didn't even say 57 states. He said 50, and then it was a very long pause, as if he was saying, yeah, how many states have you been to? And he was like 50, and he probably meant to say 47 states, but it just came out 57 states. And Obama thinks we have 57 states. Well, can we now just shut up about it? Because here we have your idol, Donald Trump, saying, you know, Obamacare has been here 17 years. Well, maybe it feels like 17 years. I guarantee. Look, I'm going to call into a radio show that's local, the one I often call into, and I'm going to ask them this question about whether or not about 17 years. And can we get rid of this? And I will just guarantee, I'm not willing to bet any money on it, but I'm certain. I should have bet money. That maybe even the host will say this. Well, it sure feels like 17 years. The host might not add the little rednecky laugh. But yeah, I'm anticipating that's going to be the response. It sure felt like it. So then the very next day I called in.
There are people today who will today still bring up, I saw the other day, you know, Barack Obama and his 57 states comments, you know, and obviously it was just a misspeaking. Nobody who's reasonable believes that Barack Obama believes that there were 57 states when he said that. And nobody with a reasonable mind believes that Donald Trump really meant 17, that he really meant 7.
Well, and I appreciate you bringing this to my attention because I didn't see where he said that. Was that in a speech recently, or when did he say that Obamacare was in place for 17 years?
It was in a press conference of some sort. There was audio and video of him of him saying that. And, you know, okay. people, of course, jumped on it because, oh, you know, he's dumb. And, you know, I said, look,
right.
he obviously meant seven and obviously misspoke, just as
okay.
President Obama obviously misspoke, and there's no reason to,
yeah.
you know, make.
Well, I will agree with you on this.
To discuss.
Yeah. I will agree with you in saying that Barack Obama is not dumb. I think Barack Obama is a smart guy. I just disagree with him on his positions. And I also would say this, and Liberal Dan, I appreciate the call, and thank you. Great to hear from you. I would say this, Donald Trump's not dumb. And I think both of them are smart. I just agree with Donald Trump's positions more than I agree with Barack Obama's positions. I don't think anybody can be elected president being dumb. I don't think idiots get themselves their party nominations and then get elected to the White House. In the case of Donald Trump, you don't build a multi-billion-dollar business being an idiot. You don't succeed in the world of television with a reality show for years being an idiot. You don't become a first-time candidate and beat 16 entrenched opponents and then beat a candidate that's got much more money and all the media behind her if you're an idiot. I mean, you're pretty darn smart, if you ask me. So, yeah, I guess he misspoke. I guess he meant to say 7 as opposed to 17. And it probably feels like 17 years of Obamacare. Maybe it feels like 70 years of Obamacare. But, no, it's 7. All right. Thank you, Liberal Dan. Quick time out. Let's get a news update. We'll come.
There you go. So there you go. I called my shot. Figure it might even be the host, and it was the host who said it. So, just to, as a reminder that this is now the 13th or 14th anniversary of passing 2010. So it's the 14th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act of Obamacare. So we're not even to the point where we've had it for 17 years yet. That was long ago. It was 7. That was 7 years ago where I called my shot, and it's still not even to the point where Donald Trump said it was 17. And now. Donald Trump's not an idiot. No, Donald Trump's a freaking idiot. That's whatever. But even Jeff Carrere, that point in that time, that Jeff Carrere was much more reasonable and sane than now Jeff Carrere. Now Jeff Carrere is way the F out there. Anyway. So there was one more thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know if there's one more thing I wanted to talk about. I don't remember off the top of my head. I thought there was one more thing, but now I'm forgetting it. Well, somebody won the power. Somebody won the Mega Millions, bastards. Someone from Jersey won the freaking Powerball or Mega Millions, bastards. Anyway, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. I wish it was me because then I could have used the lottery to pay off my debts. To pay off my, I got myself some scratchers and some Mega Millions tickets, but I didn't win any of them in the hopes that I would win and be able to use that money to pay off Letitia James. Anyway, so, about the end of the show, I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover. Monday, we are going to have Britt Gadolfi on the show again. Former candidate for, I think it was Louisiana's 11th or 12th, a state Senate seat against Beth Mizell. She's gonna be on. We're going to be a little petty together to talk about something that took place over the weekend. And she's now an author. She's published a book. So we're going to talk about that as well on top of everything else. Until Monday, unless something big happens that I need to go live for, this is the end of today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. Again, Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central here at liberaldanradio.com or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. Remember to like the video, subscribe to the channel, go interact with all the other videos that are there to help the algorithms out, become a Liberal Danimal, join on, or if you have Amazon Prime, get a subscription on Twitch, buy me a cider, liberaldan.com, click the Buy Me Cider button, Venmo, Liberal Dan, just friends and family. Until next time, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.